Money, money, money.
I'm so happy I could bust, but I won't, because who wants to clean up a bunch of splattered innards and goo? It's time for the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Mr. Bellinger, we have more Citigroup workers going back to the office. Where?
All around the country. The chief financial officer at Citigroup says workers have been invited back to 21 of the bank's North American offices, and about three-quarters of the employees at those locations have returned. The numbers are just the opposite in Asia, where just under a quarter of Citigroup employees are working from a company office. The CFO, Mark Mason, says the bank has been moving employees to lower-cost locations around the world. It's also hiring in those locations.
All right. Elsewhere, Apple wants to make its smart speaker more popular. I think everybody wants their smart speaker to be more popular.
Yeah, of course. The HomePod is one Apple device that really hasn't caught on as much as the iPhone and iPads. The iPhone maker has rehired Afrooz Family to head up its HomePod software unit. Family left Apple in 2016. He co-founded an audio startup called Sing. Apple wants to make its home speakers more competitive in a market that's currently dominated by Amazon and Google.
All right. And then we have Princess Cruises saying time to get more ships on the water.
Yeah, it says more of them will return to service at North American ports in early 2022. The company says 11 ships will be back at sea by April, sailing from Fort Lauderdale, Los Angeles, Seattle, and Vancouver.
All righty then. Where are our futures, sir?
Still pointing higher after yesterday's solid gains. S&P futures are up 17 points, NASDAQ futures are up 50, and the Dow futures are up 162. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, that makes it just about 8:10 on a Friday morning. 700 WLW. Over the weekend, got a little rain coming our way. Maybe you want to take in a flick, a movie, maybe something scary, I don't know. We turn to Kevin Carr of FatGuysAtTheMovies.com in our times of need, and this is one of those times. Kevin Carr, good morning. How in the world are you?
Good morning. I'm doing the world good, and you know, it's halfway through October. It's fall. It's Halloween time. It's horror movie time, so why not have a Halloween movie out? This is Halloween Kills. It's available in theaters and on Peacock for the premium service. You got to get the one with the ads-free version. But if you have that, you can watch it right now if you really want to.
Well, that'd be great. First thing in the morning. Hey, fantastic.
Hey, why not? You know, that's what it's all about. Now, it's the 12th Halloween movie, but don't worry. You don't have to get that much background on it. That timeline is all messed up and all over the place with all the different reboots and changes they've done. It's the first movie back in 1978 then gives way to the sequel that came out in 2017, so that's a direct sequel to the original, and this one is a direct sequel to the 2018 film. We've got Jamie Lee Curtis and her family trying to survive more of Michael Myers as he escapes and starts slicing and dicing through town while they're trying to figure out what to do and how to stop him. You know, it's...
How many Halloween movies has Jamie Lee Curtis been in?
She's been in six, I believe, if you want to count Halloween Resurrection, where she was very, very briefly in it. Seven, if you really want to get technical, because she does the voice on the telephone in Halloween 3. But yeah, six movies where she plays the character of Laurie Strode.
What is the scariest of all the Halloween movies now that you've seen them all?
You know what? I still have to go back and say the original Halloween. I enjoyed it. I love the movie. I love how it kind of kicks off the slasher franchise. I got a special place in my heart for Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, because it's so completely bonkers and insane and has nothing to do with anything, but I wouldn't necessarily call it a scary movie.
Well, going back to that first Halloween, I mean, it made a killing. I forget, and you probably don't have it top of your head, but the production cost versus what the return on investment was staggering.
Oh, sure. I mean, the back then, in 1978, it probably cost $1 or $2 million, and I think it certainly made over $100 million. I mean, it's a huge risk to return profit for the people involved, but they get a little more expensive as you get on in time. I don't know what the budget is on this one, but it is steep, mainly because they're trying to mimic the success of the previous film, which in 2018 brought in hundreds of millions of dollars, but This one's a pretty decent movie. What the difference was, it does sort of change the slasher template. It tells a different story than your typical slasher movie, and I appreciated that. I like the fact that it deals with some more of the townspeople and some of the characters from the first film, and showing sort of what the town's reaction is to this.
Yeah.
That does mean Michael Myers gets sidelined, but that's okay. They'll cut back to him where he's brutally murdering somebody at some point, and that sort of keeps him in the foreground. So it's an interesting movie, some risks they take, but it's not perfect. But, you know, I will say, for all the second Halloween movies they've made over the years, it's one of the better ones.
All right. So on a spookiness scale of 1 to 10, you'd give it a what?
Well, I mean, it's unnerving and scary. So, I mean, it all depends. It's very hard. Being afraid is very personal. And what upsets you is different from that other people. And then also for me, I've been watching these movies since I was 10. So I am, I'm very hard to be scared in a film like this.
Right. You're too big, right? You're a big man, right?
Yeah, I've just been through it all.
Yo, I ain't afraid of nothing. Afraid of nothing.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the other one, which is The Last Duel. And I think we have a little snippet from this we'd like to play before we jump on it. Hit that there, Danny boy.
Do you swear on your life that what you say is true?
We don't care about the dialogue. I just like that sound effect.
It was still the sound in there. I was thinking, I'm like, this can't possibly be the sound. That's not a medieval French
sound. Right, but they worked it in. The same thing. In medieval times, they had that sound effect too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, The Last Duel says it's based on a true story.
It is. It's directed by Ridley Scott, written by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, who, you know, you may laugh at that, but they won an Oscar for Good Will Hunting. It's the story of a French event that happened back in the 14th century where a knight accused another knight of sexually assaulting his wife, and it built into this real trial that took place. It's kind of seen as a monumental trial for, you know, well, it's hard to say women's rights, because back in France in
the
1300s, they didn't have them. It's a story. The legal aspect of it is, it amounts to property damage, which is kind of horrifying to say. But,
yeah.
You know, the movie itself, it's got some good moments to it. I think it's an interesting movie, but it's told in three different parts. It's told from the perspective of each knight, and then the perspective of the woman. So in a way, it's kind of the Run Lola Run of medieval French legal dramas. But in doing so, you do have to watch that scene at least twice. So that makes it a little uncomfortable. But, you know, it's a well-made movie, and Ridley Scott usually delivers. I guess the biggest problem that I'd see with it is, as well done as it is, it does feel like a whole bunch of guys mansplaining to women how terrible it was in France for them in the late 1300s. So, you run into that. Was that a Transformer?
It doesn't matter. It's every movie in America. I mean, have we noticed, have other countries picked up on that sound effect, or is that just Hollywood?
It's probably in other countries. I haven't listened to too many international trailers, but I would imagine whatever trends are going on in the trailers here are going on overseas.
How many fewer movies have come out this year than in the typical year? Well,
you know,
exclude last year, but I mean, if say 2017, 2018, typically you would be reviewing more than two movies a week, right?
Well, yeah, it depends. I mean, we've had some weeks with a couple more movies. I wouldn't say it's a great reduced number, because there's been a lot of independent and smaller movies that are still coming out in limited release. So even though it appears that the box office isn't getting the big releases, which is true, and they've pushed some of those still, there's still always something in the theaters that has been for well over a year.
Yeah. All right. Well, The Last Duel, we got to everything except your opinion of it.
I thought it was fine for what it is. I mean, like I said, it's an uncomfortable film to watch, and beautiful cinematography, although some choices in the cinematography I wouldn't be wild about. But yeah, you kind of have to know what you're getting into with this one.
All right. Anything good on TV?
Anything else going on TV right now? I don't know. I haven't been thinking too hard on the TV front. There is the Muppets Haunted Mansion, which is kind of fun on Disney.
All right, I'll check it out. Kevin Carr, I want you to have a fantastic weekend. We got to run, but thanks for your time, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, thank you. I will.
You bet. See you. All right, makes it 8:18. Yeah, see, in the medieval ones, it works in with the blade, the steel of the blade. But it works into every movie. I watched the trailer to Halloween Kills, but I didn't take the time to listen for the sound effect. I'll bet it's in there too, though. I guarantee it's in every movie. All right, it's 8:18 right now, and time to take a look at the traffic. Anything?
Why don't we just get into the running car?
Are you crazy? And then if you listen at the very end, you hear the one yell, quit, run to the cemetery.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I like the guy just rolling his eyes going, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good commercial.
It is a good commercial.
It's probably been around for 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm, I'd keep using it.
They bring it back. All right. I had some other Geico commercial in my head for some reason. I'm not thinking of it now. So let's talk about the traffic and what's going on.
We can do that. Just about ready to clear this wreck on eastbound 275 before Turkey Foot. What's left is over on the left shoulder and the backup. From the UC Health Traffic Center, mammograms save lives. Schedule your annual mammogram with UC Health by calling 513-584-PINK. That's 513-584-PINK. Traffic is heavy from 75 and Erlanger past what's left of the accident scene, and that's not going to last too much longer. Just going to take a few more minutes. The only other spot that's left that's slow is northbound 75 through the cut, and that's dropped in delay times just over the 5-minute mark. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700, WLW.
Forecast-wise, it actually looks pretty nice out there right now. I mean, there's some peaks of sunshine anyway, but the warm times, if those are your good times, the good times are over for the time being. Today, thunderstorms will move in, say 1 or 2 in the afternoon. 78 is the best we'll do for a high. That'll feel pretty warm compared to tomorrow. Rain and wind then overnight down to 52. Then morning rain, afternoon sun tomorrow, 62. And then sunshine on Sunday and 66. And most of next week is sunny and kind of back up around 70 to low 70s. So only got about one big night of rain, day and night of rain, and we're good. It is 66 now, 700 WLW.
Speak the keyword, legal help.
So yeah, weather doesn't look too hot for high school football tonight. Pretty nice. Should be nice in time for UC. And on Sunday, the Bengals are away and under a dome anyway. Doesn't matter. All right, what do we have? What do we have? Talk about, was that yesterday, talking about shoplifting in San Francisco, the number of stores that are closing. CVS stores closed. Walgreens had announced 5 more stores are closed. One of them was losing $1,000 a day to theft. And it's because they've loosened the penalties for shoplifting. You have to shoplift over $950 worth for it to be considered a felony. And no one's going to stop you because they don't want to get sued if something happens and somebody falls down or whatever. So people are just shoplifting at will. Well, that's San Francisco, but New York has the same issue because they passed a similar law. And someone said, I went to my local pharmacy to get some vitamins. Walked into the pharmacy, noticed the shelves were completely empty. I asked someone working there, you know, what happens to the merchandise? Where is everything? Where's your toilet paper and other essential items? I was told the people were coming in there and stealing them, looting things out of the store, and they're not allowed to touch them. NYPD said shoplifting from January to September is up 6,000 cases as compared to all of last year. And the problem is there's a Rite Aid pharmacy here. The Walgreens in this neighborhood already shut down in the Bronx. And this was a Rite Aid that this person was shopping at, and it was running out of all sorts of things. They said, you know, if we lose this pharmacy, we're going to be left out in the open, high and dry. We have people suffering from asthma, diabetes, heart conditions. The Walgreens shut down not too long ago because they had the same issue. We don't want this to happen. There needs to be some type of change, they say. And yes, it would be nice if there was some type of change. But, you know, around here and other cities, you'll hear about, you know, a food desert. Well, how did it become a food desert? Just like this. People stealing so much stuff that you can't make money, and you simply close the store and move on. And I don't know this part of the Bronx, but I'll guarantee you it's probably a food desert already and soon to be a drugstore desert. Now, the surge in shoplifting in New York, let's see, one video posted on social media shows thieves helping themselves to products at an Ultra Beauty store. And retired NYPD lieutenant said it's multifaceted. One of the things is the unemployment rate is going up in the wake of the pandemic. Well, that's not true. The unemployment rate is down and people are not going to work. He says there's also cases of mental illness. True, but you had mental illness before you changed the law to make it easier to shoplift. So just a warning, you know, that's what's coming. And people like to think that, you know, the cops were the bad guy or something. And every time they change a law to make something more lax, you get more theft, crime, and antisocial behavior. And when are you going to catch on? I have no idea. All right, 8:26, got a minute or two to spend with the coach just ahead.
Peak performance for men.
Newt Gingrich here.
Money, money, money.
Business news makes me happy. It reminds me of my old pappy.
Here it comes, the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Mr. Bellinger is standing by. And
yes.
Southwest Airlines reviewing operations after last week's debacle.
They are doing.
That's the most recent I have from you.
Oh, I apologize for that. Okay. I thought I sent this, but why don't you ask me about retail sales from last month,
Jeff? I was sitting here wondering. Last month, what happened in the world of retail sales?
Well, we ramped up our spending. The Commerce Department reports retail sales increased 0.7% in September. With autos excluded, sales were up 0.8%. The numbers topped analyst estimates. And I know you want to know about Walgreens, too, right?
What is new with Walgreens, Jeff? Do tell.
Well, the drugstore chain's doubling down on medical care. Walgreens investing $5 billion in the primary care provider VillageMD, increasing its stake in the company to 63%. The deal will increase the number of primary care practices at Walgreens stores to 1,000 by 2027. And Walgreens says more than half of the clinics will be in underserved communities.
Well, that's going to be fantastic.
And one more supply chain issue to worry about.
I usually do have three good questions for you. Hey, what about the supply chain? Is there anything in addition, anything new that we could be concerned about?
Yeah, things could become worse for car makers and other industries. Now the raw materials needed to make aluminum are becoming scarce. Metalco is the nation's biggest producer of aluminum billet. It's warning customers it may have to cut its output and ration delivery starting in 2022.
How about that? What about the futures? Where do those stand?
Well, gee, Mike, those are pointing a little bit higher ahead of the Friday session. S&P futures up 20 points. NASDAQ futures are up 52. Dow futures are up 196 points. Have a good weekend. Right. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
700 WLW. Greg Stebbin, we call our business insider, joins me once a week to talk about the world of business, maybe your business or your life as an employee. And shadow inflation is the new phrase here. It seems to me it's about a week old in my mind. But shadow inflation is, aside from inflation as we know it, when prices of things go up, as gasoline, as an example, is doing today. This is where you're simply getting less for the same money you were spending before, correct?
Yeah, you're getting less. And that may be in terms of quantity, like you buy a candy bar and now it's smaller, but you're paying the same price.
Right.
Or it may be that you're getting less service. So in the case of hotels, because they can't hire enough housekeepers, you may go to a hotel and it costs the same thing it did a year ago, but now you don't even have the option of getting your room cleaned every day because they just don't have anybody to do it.
Right.
So you pay the same price, you get less service.
Yes. And throughout the pandemic, you didn't get the free breakfast anymore. Because they couldn't have buffet lines.
Did you want it?
But they didn't cut the price. Well, I'd rather have a piece of bacon than granola. Put it that way. So.
Well, there you go. Or you could have the stale Danish that was wrapped in plastic.
You got it. So anyway, labor shortages are one key reason, but another has to do with supply chain issues and the fact that they can't always get the product that they need.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's all kinds of things factoring in here, but at the end of the day, if you own a business, the prices of things are going up, including the price of the people you need to hire to help you run your business. And so if you own a business, you're thinking, I don't want to keep raising my prices because that turns customers off. So how can I keep the prices the same and cut costs instead? That's really at the root of shadow inflation is I want to give you the illusion that you're paying the same thing you always paid because what's coming out of your wallet is the same, but you're actually not getting the same amount. By the way, I'm not being critical of businesses for doing this. It's a perfectly logical way for them to survive this set of issues. And look, it's a struggle for them.
Right. I was surprised last week I brought don't have any coffee service at work, if you know what I mean. So I brought in those Keurig single cup things from home and opened it when I got to work, and those boxes always hold 12, and there were 10 in it. I could tell it rattled too much when I shook it, and I opened it, and there were only 10 of the 12 were in there. And it's pretty obvious. Shadow inflation is one thing. This was a little bit, there was too much sunlight on this one.
Well, and you know, it's interesting as you're telling me that I'm thinking to myself, you know, in a perfect world, they would have reduced it to 10 little pods and made a smaller box.
Right.
But you know what? When there's a supply chain shortage and a labor shortage, you can't make a smaller box. All you can do is keep making, if you're lucky, you can keep making the box you've been using. You may not even be able to get that. So I'm sympathetic to businesses in this area. When I encounter something like that, I don't think to myself, oh, those dirty rats are trying to cheat me. I think to myself, these guys are just trying to stay alive.
Right.
And I'm going to do everything I can to help them.
All right. So the idea is, how long will it take for things to even themselves out, supply chain to be back in shape, if ever? I would have to, sooner or later, it's going to get back to where things are running smoothly.
So, you know, it's interesting. You found a really interesting way to word that question because someone else might have said, when will things get back to normal? You use the word smoothly, and I think you get the blue star here because I don't think they're ever going back to normal. They will get to smoothly, and things will get to smoothly only because our economy and the world of business is always adapting to changing circumstances. So we'll continue to adapt until things do run more smoothly than they are now. But if you're hoping, oh, I remember November 2019 so fondly, I can't wait to get back to that normal, well, I wouldn't hold your breath because I don't think those times are ever coming back.
All right, so somebody owns a small business. You say there are some ways perhaps they could take advantage of shadow inflation to benefit their business.
Yeah, so, you know, at the heart of successful business has always been finding a need and filling it, right? And so what shadow inflation does is it creates a lot of needs in the marketplace. Your customers have needs, your clients have needs, your employees have needs, your community has needs. And so it may require you to think outside the box of how you used to think about your business. But if you look at what's happening as a result of shadow inflation, you're going to see that there's a lot of problems and needs that are going unfixed. Look at your business and what you can do and those problems and say to yourself, even though this isn't what I started out to do, maybe there's a different business or what we call a pivot here that can really help my business be even more successful because I'm going to do exactly what so many others need right now. And that's just creating demand that's great for your bottom line.
All right. Anyway, the average employee can benefit from this, or does he just pay more for less?
I do think that there's a lot of ways you as an employee can benefit from this. One is, and I know you and I have talked about this a lot, if you've ever thought about changing companies or changing careers or industries, this is the time to do it. Because if you show up and say, I want to go to work, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to be reliable, I'm going to learn fast and be a great loyal employee for you, there's probably not a business in the country that's not going to jump for that. So if you want to make a change, make the change. But whether you make a change or not, look around the same way the business owner does and say to yourself, where are the problems that are not getting fixed within my company or with our clients or our customers or our community? And how can I, as an employee of this company, help my company fix some of those problems? If you can come up with a plan and help execute it, you're going to be a hero, and that's going to pay off in your career for a long, long time.
Well, I just read that we set a record for the number of people who quit their jobs in August. And it was 4.3 million people, the most people who've ever quit their jobs in the U.S. I'd imagine many to do just that and move on to greener pastures. So,
well, that's right. I mean, when you read that statistic, it doesn't mean that those 4.3 million people quit to sit at home.
Right.
Many of them realize there's something better for me. And frankly, that's exactly what you as an employee should be doing. What's the best situation I can create for myself? That's great for you, and it's great for your new employer. It may not be so great for your old employer, but your old employer might need to, you know, do a pivot of their own and say, why are people leaving? What do we need to do to keep people? Because if we don't have people, we don't have a company.
That's a fact. All right, we're out of time. Got to run. Greg Stemmen, I thank you for yours, and I'd say we do it again a week from now.
I look forward to it. It's great to be here.
All righty. It's about 8:47 now. 700 WLW. Beer Dave on the way in just a few.
Yes.
We're going to take a look at the world of traffic. There's a lot more blue sky out there than I expected looking at my forecast.
Isn't that nice?
It is.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Yeah. Wasn't expecting this at all. I thought we'd be drenched by now.
Yeah. Temperature's not gone up a single degree since 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's been at 66 all morning.
Just sitting right there.
All right, how's your Friday traffic look?
It's looking better, too. From the UC Health Traffic Center, mammograms save lives. Schedule your annual mammogram with UC Health by calling 513-584-PINK. That's 513-584-PINK. No longer a delay. Eastbound 275 near Turkey Foot. After an earlier accident, northbound 75, that's the one problem. And that continues to run close to an extra 15 minutes between Kyle's and the Brent Spence Bridge. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
First forecast, we have thunderstorms on the way. We'll have them starting this afternoon, 1, 2 o'clock, right in through there. 78 shall be the high tonight, rain and wind, 52. Then morning rain with afternoon sun tomorrow, 62. That's a change of pace. Up to 66 by Sunday with sunshine back into the picture. And temp right now is 66 degrees, 700 WLW.
Daddy.
That's a fact. Time is 8:51 right now, 700 WLW Fridays. I touch base with my friend Beer Dave. As a lot goes on over the course of the weekend around here in the world of beer, and Dave keeps us up to speed. Welcome back, Dave. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, thank you. I've mentioned this before, and I've mentioned to you off air. It's what's unique about the craft beer biz is how much they cooperate with each other. In most businesses, competitors are going at each other's throat. These guys are like in one big huddle together or something. And the latest proof of that is what's going on at Nine Giant. Walk us through it, please.
So two sessions tomorrow. It's all barrel-aged beer. And it's amazing. There must be 35 different beers between the Nine Giant and all these breweries that are going to be here. And this runs the gamut from just a simple Vienna lager barrel-aged all the way to pumpkin barrel-aged beers and, of course, Russian Imperial Stouts and everything. It's really quite the selection that they're going to have tomorrow at Nine Giant.
Yeah, it's an afternoon session, 2 to 5. Evening session is 6 to 9. And does it just show up and pay your way in, or should you pay up front?
I go to the website to make sure so you can make sure you've got tickets because they're probably going to be limited. But this is in their Fermentorium, which is that expansion that they put on the side street there. So because there's no way you could fit enough people inside a regular Nine Giant.
Yeah, I knew they were doing that, but I've been at Nine Giant, but I don't know where the expansion part is.
Just around the corner. If you know, Nine Giant kind of sits the first building in on that corner. If you just go down the street a little bit, like you're going towards where Molly Malone's used to be.
Yeah.
And that's where it is.
All right. That should be easy enough to find. But yeah, it's Rheingeist is there. Northern Row is there. Mad Tree is there. High Grain and others that I've never heard of are there as well. Where's Wolf's Ridge?
Columbus.
All right. Well, that's why. All right. That's tomorrow. And all this info will be on my website anyway. You can check it out there. And then High Grain is looking at, well, at least there are rumors that they will have a second location.
Yeah, there's been a lot of chatter around on social media this week. They parked their Tesla in front of the Brentwood Bowl, and that building is available for redevelopment. And there's been a lot of talk that maybe Nine Giant's going to maybe move in there because, you know, that little place in Silverton to be able to can and everything and stuff, this would give them a chance to do more barrel aging. They could put in a real production line for their packaging. So that would be pretty cool if they could go in where the Brentwood Bowl is.
Yeah, not a bad idea at all. We'll see. Is it rumor or All right, then at Third Eye, what's going on here? Karen Wellington Foundation, that's they do great work there. They try to promote trips for women going through the process of dealing with breast cancer and a way to kind of get them out of town and away from their troubles for a while. And there's a fundraiser here, which Third Eye is involved in, and how's it work?
So they've got a cannoli truck because they've made a pineapple upside-down cake cannoli-flavored beer, and they're going to offer the beer along with the Delgado's cannolis, and all proceeds are going to benefit the Karen Wellington Foundation. And they ask that you bring some gift cards or whatever to put in a basket, and they'll use those for fundraisers and that to further their cause. And you're right, it is. It's an excellent cause.
Yeah, that's tomorrow, noon to 4, and Third Eye is right there on Chester Road across from the Shannonville Convention Center. In another
Correct.
Place. You got it. Noon to 4 tomorrow. Then, bright idea here, Braxton Brewing decided to pair up with La Rosa's and come up with a lager which they say perfectly complements La Rosa's original marinara sauce. Have you tried this?
I have not. It's just been announced overnight. This is breaking news.
breaking beer news.
Right. Beer and pizza. I mean, can you imagine the combination?
I can't imagine those two things going together, really.
There was a brewery outside of Milwaukee a few years ago that made a beer-flavored beer. It had basil and meat sort of smokiness, so like for the pepperoni and that. And I think it's since gone off the market, surprisingly.
Pizza-flavored beer. Fantastic. All right, so they're going to serve this at La Rosa. I guess most La Rosa's serve beer, but if they have a license for beer, you'll be able to get this at La Rosa's and also at Braxton.
Yeah, and they're making it sound like probably by the 1st of November you should be able to have it in the various La Rosa's around town.
All right, then Urban Artifact, one of my all-time favorites. They've come up with one called Astronaut Food. What is unique about Astronaut Food beer?
So they're using dehydrated fruits, freeze-dried fruits in this, sort of like they use in the space program. They
right.
started with a blackberry and then a raspberry, and now they're coming out with a blueberry. And this thing sold in an 8-ounce can because it comes in at 15% alcohol.
So wow.
You don't need a pint glass of this.
I mean, is there something about blueberries that does that? 15? Yeah, 8-ounce glass, 15-0.
Yeah, so it's packed with a lot of malt, and obviously the fructose sugar will ferment out as well to cause the alcoholic climb. But sounds like a pretty amazing.
I don't know the alcohol content on it, but if I had to think of one beer that I got a buzz faster off than any other, it would be a Dragon's Milk. What's the alcohol content in Dragon's Milk?
It comes in just shy of 11%. So this is even
And this
bigger.
Is a 15. Wow.
Yeah. Not a lawnmowing beer.
Yeah. All right. Well, Urban Artifact, check it out for yourself. Be careful how you drink it. Then Beer, Booze, and Bonks. This is the first annual at Fowling Warehouse. Explain.
So Fowling is that football meets bowling kind of a deal where you throw the ball at the pin.
Okay, yeah.
And this is in that warehouse up there. And what they're basically doing, they've decided to do a beer festival. And this isn't until the 20th of November, but it's kind of cool news that they broke with this week. And, you've got some of your major players there as far as the local breweries go, besides Sam Adams and Cartridge and Rheingeist and the rest. Kind of a cool beer festival in the middle of doing this Fowling thing. I've yet to do the Fowling, so this might be something that'd be fun to do to get up there.
Well, I guess if it's football and bowling, it's Fowling, I would think. Is this in Over the Rhine? Where is it? Where's the Fowling place?
I think it's just outside of downtown going north. I was looking for the address today when I was putting all this together, and I couldn't find the actual address of it, but I'll get that info between now and November 20th, and we'll put it on a show later on.
Yeah, we have time to think about it. All right. Well, listen, you have a fantastic weekend, why don't you? And you're going to be in Bowling Green, Kentucky, serving beer. So if somebody wants to say hello, all they have to do is drive there.
Yep, I'll be down there at the Rheingeist van.
All right, got you covered. Enjoy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
All right, Dave, you bet. Adios. And Scott Sloan is up next. What's he got? He has a guest. He's a CPA. Yeah, this thing with the IRS wants to take a look at your bank account. If you have like over $600 in it, they want that information from people. And the CPA will have some answers to questions from Scott Sloan, and he's next. So enjoy your weekend, too. All the Beer Dave information is on my page at 700WLW.com, so you don't have to miss a thing. Talk to you Monday. It is news time. You got News Radio 700 WLW.